They finally, they've got a scapegoat. They figured it out. They know who the leaker is. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Happy Friday, one and all. We are here live in our undisclosed location, deep behind the orange curtain. And hopefully you're on your way to something fun. I say that every Friday, but I do hope that your week is coming to an end and that we can enjoy a few minutes together here. So now, looky here. Michael Hayden, who you may know, may remember, is the former head of the CIA. Now he's making the rounds, of course, doing interviews, because right now his opinion is somewhat relevant. Do not think for a minute that the deep state is not obsessed with finding who this mole is. And I believe on Wednesday, I had given you this opinion on who I thought the mole might be.
So I think you got a guy who's a patriot who probably voted for Obama, seriously disillusioned. He's probably an ACLU type, libertarian thinking person, younger, and didn't like what was going on.
Yeah, so I threw that out there, but based on what I thought, would be somebody who, and I think it was because I think that the person who's leaking this doing it anonymously, and I think a younger person does have, tends to want to do things anonymously and has more to lose. But I sense in the person who's doing it some principles. I mean, I'll explain. For example, the data, and I've heard this misreported in a number of places, the actual hacking tools were not released. So this is somebody who didn't want, who set certain conditions for WikiLeaks. He said, WikiLeaks, I've got this stuff here that you want. In fact, I've got the stuff that I want you to release and shed light on, but there are going to be some conditions. And one of the other conditions, you see a lot of redacted names, no reference to actual people. So it seems like the person who's doing it has some principles. And that's important, because here is, now you heard what I said the other day, and I want to play for you now. This is the former director of the CIA, General Michael Hayden, responding to a question from a journalist about what they're doing about this mole, what's likely going on behind the scenes, and what his opinions are about who the mole might be.
In order to do this kind of stuff, we have to recruit from a certain demographic. And I don't mean to judge them at all, but this group of millennials and related groups simply have different understandings of the words loyalty and secrecy and transparency than certainly my generation did. And so we bring these folks into the agency, good Americans all, I can only assume. But again, culturally, they have different instincts than the people who made the decision to hire them. And we may be running into this different cultural approach that we saw with Chelsea Manning, with Edward Snowden, and now perhaps with a third actor.
Yeah, it's the millennials. So now we've got this. This is the explanation, right? And I think it's wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. Look, you got to back this up a little bit. So I know you caught it him saying, he's saying, look, we're bringing in a bunch of young people. This is what Michael Hayden thinks. We're bringing in a bunch of young people. And these young people, I don't want to cast any aspersions against them. I don't want to draw any big conclusions. But they I'm sure they're good Americans. You catch that little throwaway line. I'm sure they're good Americans and all. But they have a different understanding of loyalty, secrecy, and transparency than the people that hired them. Can we laugh about the fact that the people that hired them are the same generation of the people that raised them? appreciate the irony in that. Let's talk about who these people are, right? Who the people are who are raising them. and who the people are that are hiring them versus who these young, you know, hackers in these departments are that are being brought in. Because what he's ultimately saying is we have to hire younger people because hackers, right? These computer, you know, wizards tend to be younger folks. So we're forced to deal with this demographic of millennials. And they're bad apples because they have different ideas of what it means to be secret and so forth. All right. So here's Hayden worldview. And again, I want to explain to you why I think it's wrong. I'm older than a millennial, but I'm somewhere in between, you know, Hayden's generation, right? And millennials. And I'll tell you this. The world was a lot simpler when Michael Hayden was a boy. In fact, it was a lot simpler on the year I was born, 1980. Okay, the world, look, you got the Soviets, right? You had the Soviets, you had America, you had commies, you had the communists, and you had the free world. And it was a polarized setup that had been the de facto paradigm of political thought for many generations, for the better part of 50 years. And in this world, you know, parents raise their children. The parents that are raising, by the way, parents that raised millennials are people that grew up in this world. And so I don't know. I mean, a lot of millennials were born. They're born really post-Soviet era and after the Berlin Wall fell. And now they're in this world where everything is turned upside down. Who's our friend? Who's our enemy? What's right? What's wrong? And their parents, in many cases, I know so many kids whose parents never talked to them about politics, never talked to them about what's going on in the world, because you know what? Honestly, the parents themselves are confused about it. And so these kids go off to school. Biggest mistake. Because what happens in school? You think they're taught about the Constitution? You think they're taught about American history? You think they learn about who our founding fathers were and why they did the things that they did? No. Well, you're laughing. So am I. We both laugh about it because it's a total joke. Instead, they went to social studies where they learned about equality and fairness and all sorts of other BS. They went to science class. You know what they learned in science? They didn't learn that it was, you know, nonsense to pour, you know, I don't know, water into acid. But they learned that you know, the rainforest is dying and the spotted owl is suffering. And it's all because of man and his cars and factories and all the evil mechanisms of the capitalist world. Okay, right? I know this. I went to Irvine Unified School District, not a bad school district. I had some great teachers. I don't want to throw any of them under a giant polluting environment destroying bus. But I can tell you this, I learned a lot of BS. But I had parents when I came home and showed them my homework. I had my mom's a scientist. My dad's a historian. They corrected me. I still remember my mom looking at my science homework and just laughing. But many of these millennials went to school, learned this nonsense, came home. Their parents are self-absorbed, you know, baby boomers that grew up in a totally different world for which they may actually have some contempt. And these people went off into the great beyond as now became adults. And maybe they went to some college, which, by the way, they end up at college and all of a sudden they got some radical professor telling them all sorts of nonsense. They are not. My point is, and I keep driving this home, they are not learning about the Constitution. They are not learning about the foundations of this republic. They are not learning about the real building blocks of what makes our country great. If anything, they're learning stuff like, yeah, we're just like everybody else. We're not exceptional in any way. In fact, America does a lot of bad stuff, and that's who we are, and that's it. And all of this matters because, remember, I'm going back to what Hayden is saying. Hayden's point is these millennials are the reason we have a mole. We have, you look at Chelsea Manning, look at Snowden, and look at this now potentially third leaker. They're younger people. They don't understand how to keep a secret. But my opinion in all of this is that that you could never have such a widespread domestic spying program. You could never have thousands upon thousands of hackers sitting, over in Virginia or wherever in Frankfurt, you know, is one of the undisclosed locations, hacking away and most importantly, spying on Americans. If so many of them weren't millennials. Because I promise you this, if General Michael Hayden, this is why what he says is so contemptuous. I can't believe I'm standing up for you millennials. You guys owe me one. It's so contemptuous. Because in his generation, if his father was in the CIA, and the boss came in and said, you know what, Papa Hayden? You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, starting tomorrow, we're going to start spying on Americans. We're going to listen to their phone calls. We're going to read their emails. We're going to track them. You know, they got these new things called cell phones, and we're going to follow them around wherever they go. We're going to look into their credit card records. We're going to look at their text messages. We're going to do all that. Don't worry, though. It's all to keep America safe. I have a prediction for you. That generation that read the Constitution, that was taught about the Bill of Rights, that knew what the foundation of this republic was all about, that generation would not just have one Snowden. You would have wholesale walkouts. People literally picking their stuff up and walking, taking a bus to Capitol Hill, and to anybody that would listen, probably even a refusal to do the work. But what the CIA has going for it, and listen to me, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. What the CIA has going for it is all these young people who are desensitized, mindless robots, the thing that they care about. They don't care. They have no interest in right or wrong. They have no interest in what's up or down, what's good or bad. None. It's me, me, me. Does the office have a beanbag? Okay. They give me energy drinks. 8 weeks paid vacation? Sweet. CIA badge? Think about that. If when you were 18, somebody called you up. Hey, you're really good with computers. I hear, you're like a whiz bang kid, you know. How about this? Come join the CIA. And we'll give you a diplomatic passport, and we're going to give you a cool-looking ID badge. You're going to score a lot of chicks with that. Look, this is how it is. And that's what makes what Hayden is saying so dead wrong. And I absolutely love, as a quick aside here, I love how what is taken as gospel truth on TV, because, you know, they have him all, he's making the rounds. And everything he's saying, people are just nodding and, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, you got that right. Oh, yeah, General Hayden, absolutely. Yes, sir, no, sir. And the reality is that it's all upside down, in my opinion. Have you heard of the Oath Keepers? This kind of fits in with this. We you know, the deep state, right? The deep state, we were hearing all about it. Well, there is a small group of individuals in the deep state that call themselves the Oath Keepers. Yeah, and before you get worried that it's some, you know, subversive group of anti-Americans or I don't know whatnot, it is somewhat of a secret society, but their whole deal is they go, look, I when I signed up for this job, and whatever it is, if it's in intelligence or at the State Department or in the military, they say, when I signed up for this job, I didn't swear allegiance to the president. I didn't swear an oath to my general or to my branch of service. I didn't swear that I was going to protect my boss. No, when I took this job, I swore that I would protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And they take that oath seriously. So when they're told, hey, yo, spy on your neighbors, they say, uh-uh, not going to do it. And I would venture to tell General Hayden that these are the people that were raised correctly. And I don't know what kind of kids General Hayden has, or he probably is a little, his kids probably aren't millennials, but it actually kind of worries me that he has this attitude, because I think this is exactly the kind of thing where parents went wrong in raising these children and have created a generation that will be the end of us. Now, they'll learn. Well, then we'll get them to figure it out. All right. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KVC. Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Hey, so I don't know, like, for example, these BP oil ads, BP Petroleum, British Petroleum. You'll remember the owner of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig that kind of blew up in 2010. I think it's still considered one of the largest marine oil spills in the history of oil and the oil business. And now you're wondering, how does this tie in with this whole CIA leaky thing? Okay, and it's not that there was leaking petroleum and leaking secrets. It's actually that BP is running a series of ads. You've probably seen them pop up on your browser, or maybe seen them on TV, watching cable news, and they're all variations of basically a whistleblower theme. And this is, I think, very interesting to me, because their whole shtick is, you know, every worker has the ability to stop a job. That's what they're saying, right? Every BP employee is empowered to stop a job. And then it says why, and then it says, you know, because we value safety, and, you know, they're rehabilitating their badly damaged brand. And it makes me chuckle, because I think almost the CIA is going to have to do this at one point. You know, they're because this is it. When you learn about the Constitution, you learn about this country, you realize that this very unique document, this is where the left, by the way, this is where the left truly collides ideologically with itself. Kind of like, you know, a dog chasing its tail. Because the left, on one hand, loves whistleblowers. I mean, they love the muckrakers, you know, when they were taking down big business, you know, when they were exposing the evil side of the robber barons, you know, in the roaring 20s, you know, that was okay. That was great. But then, gosh forbid, you know, a whistleblower come out and, you know, show that, you know, the great black liberal president, the great savior, Barack Obama himself, the constitutional law professor, the great hope of so many Americans, of so many people far and wide, of the whole world, Nobel Peace Prize winning laureate. It's the biggest spyer on people everywhere and anywhere. But so they don't want to know. No, whistleblower now. No, whistleblower's bad. If they're whistleblowing on conservatives, on the titans of industry, it's good. Whistleblowing on Barack Obama, niche. That's bad. So the reason I say this is, look at this. So you got BP running these ads. They clearly, you know, you don't drop millions and millions of dollars on a huge ad campaign, because they recognize that the perception is that they have a flaw. Their flaw was that their oil rig blew up because, somebody in a faraway office made a decision against the people that were on the scene. We're like, hey, this thing's leaking, and, you know, we got a kind of a dangerous situation here. And our Constitution allows for this. It allows for, and it protects in the freedom of speech and in these oaths. When I talk to you about these oath keepers, this is why the Constitution and why our country is set up demanding that the servants, the people that serve this country, not swear an oath to the presidency or to their general or to their congressman, but rather swear to the Constitution. Because that single document governs us and governs us equitably. You want to talk about equality, right? Hear it so much from our friends on the left. This document governs us all equally and protects us when we seek to protect it, the Constitution. And that's why William Binney, who we talked about, ultimately, the way he did it, he came out of it unscathed. They couldn't prosecute him. Because what he said is, look, I swore to defend the Constitution. The NSA ordered me to violate the Constitution, and I am blowing the whistle. Whoop, whoop. And there it was. The FBI comes into his house. You heard the clip the other day on the program. There's nothing they could do. All right, I'm going to tell you when we come back what is the single most devastating aspect of this leak that went out from WikiLeaks on the CIA and why this matters to you and even to some Democrats. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Back, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Bottom of the hour, we're rounding out the program today here with, well, a little bit about the CIA leak. And I want to, you want to actually hear from the guy who is behind the firestorm. I would think, right? You want to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And in this case, I'm going to play a clip here for you of Julian Assange, who is the founder and CEO, operator of WikiLeaks. He's, by the way, living inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he's hiding out from everyone. Because, by the way, WikiLeaks doesn't just publish stuff on the U.S. This guy has more enemies than a man with 10 ex-wives. I'm telling you, this guy's a hunted guy. So he's hanging out in an embassy where they can't get him, but he's basically in prison. And he does this interview, and he's explaining. Kind of, he's being asked, what did the CIA do? And what, you know, what do you think are the most damning aspects of this? Like, what do you think is really the, you know, you've seen the material. It's slowly trickling out because the whole vault hasn't been put out there yet. What do you think happened? And here's what he says.
The CIA developed a giant arsenal, what appears to be the largest arsenal of Trojans and viruses in the world that attacks most of the systems that journalists, people in government, politicians, CEOs, and average people use, didn't secure it, lost control of it, and then appears to have covered up that fact. You see some press reportage, and we've detected some things as well, that the Central Intelligence Agency became aware within the last couple of months that it had lost that material, or that we had that material, and has not disclosed that, to the public at least, has not warned the public that those loose cyber weapons arsenal is out there.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know, and I touched on this on Wednesday, because I said, look, here we've got these epic weapons. The most serious, and when he's talking about Trojans, I just want to clarify here. He's not talking about USC graduates, but he is talking about these. I had to do it. He's talking about all these different hacks and different viruses that can be used to deploy to take control over computer systems, and these hacks, by the way, all are exploiting commonly used computer programs, commonly used devices. And that's all fine and dandy. But then what happened is these millennials that General Michael Hayden's talking about, they stole it. They walked out the door with the stuff. And now who knows how they're being used and who they've been sold to. And the CIA knew that they lost it. They knew that they lost control of this, and they didn't warn anyone. They didn't call Apple. They didn't call Microsoft. They didn't call anybody. And the cover-up, right? We know this. We know this. The cover-up is almost worse than the crime. It's just they took an incredible risk. By the way, you know, there's some risks that just aren't worth taking, like this one and another one here. I had to ask Sweet James about this because there's a guy who apparently went to a Walmart and noticed that the P in the parking sign, it was like up on the building, there's a P, a giant, you know, sign P, and it was dangling. And so a bunch of people took pictures of him because the guy, this big guy, he goes under the P and he's like waiting there for 4 hours, waiting for the P to fall on his head. And that's really what he said. He goes, I'm waiting for the P to fall on my head because I want to sue Walmart when it does. All right, let me tell you, just like when the CIA lost control of all their Trojans, okay, this that's not a good risk to take by not telling people. Do not, if you see a giant sign, if you see a calamity about to happen, don't get near it. I know you want to talk to Sweet James. I know you want him as your lawyer, but the, Sweet James will take care of you in an accident, not if you put yourself deliberately in harm's way. And he is the lawyer that we trust here on the program. He's a good guy. He fights for his clients. He gets results. And he's dedicated to pursuing your claim to the bitter end, making sure that you get everything that you deserve. We love him. We trust him. He's a good guy. Sweet James Bergner, your attorney, my attorney. How do you reach him? 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. We'll be back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. The left is starting to lose allies, okay? And this is where the media has to be very careful. I was just kind of saying earlier about how you can't, even some Democrats are starting to fret about the CIA nonsense and the spying, the domestic spying, and rightly so. It's really not a political issue. And we found out really that the CIA doesn't discriminate between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to nosing around politicians and what they're doing creates also a bit of a problem, right? When we have one branch of the government spying on the other branch of the government, the keeper of secrets always has a tremendous amount of power. Now, I'll tell you, this interview, in case you missed it, was with Dennis Kucinich, and he was being asked by Shannon Bream. Was this on CNN? Oh, it's Fox News. Excuse me. My apologies to Shannon. And Bream, Shannon Bream asks Dennis Kucinich, a longtime congressman and perennial Democratic candidate for president. I think, is he what, 4'5"? He's a tiny little guy. I've seen him. He's almost a midget. So anyway, Kucinich is talking to Shannon Bream. She's asking him, you've been making some comments about how you can vouch for the fact that that extracurricular surveillance, meaning surveillance that is perhaps not necessarily part of some focused investigation, we'll call it fishing expeditions, right? Fishing. That you're saying that this extracurricular surveillance maybe does occur. And she's being skeptical. She's saying, so now you're saying even that, you know, sometimes it's not even officially approved. Imagine that, right? So you're saying all of this. Why are you, why are you speaking out now? Why are you talking about this now? And this is Dennis Kucinich, who is left of Mao Zedong. Okay, roll the tape.
There are people who are saying about President Trump's claim, oh, it could never happen. Well, frankly, it happened to me. And I had proof because the Washington Times actually let me listen into a tape that was made of a conversation in my congressional office. It was a conversation between myself and a foreign leader. The conversation was approved and cleared by House attorneys who said, yes, you can do that. That's your constitutional right. But someone had intercepted it. And I learned about it 2 years after I left office. Members of Congress ought to be aware that my experience was that my phone wasn't safe in a congressional office. Now, if they can do that to a member of Congress, they can certainly do it to a presidential candidate, and they can do it to private citizens as well. Hello, America.
Hello, America. Okay, bingo. Exactly. Did you hear that? Now, I'm giving this to you. Look, so if it can happen to a member of Congress in his office in his federal office building, you're telling me it can't happen to Trump at Trump Tower? Are you starting to understand how ridiculous, how deceptive, how petty the denials are coming from Obama's, former administration, from all of Obama's people? The point here, and by the way, the story was that Kucinich was in Congress at the time when the administration, the former administration, Obama, formerly known as president, was looking to take out Libya. This was one of old Hillary Clinton's pet projects. And since the Libyan government, they were in full panic mode and they were trying to contact the White House and sorry, nobody here. They're out to lunch. Can't talk to you now. So the Libyan government, one of the emissaries there for Gaddafi, reached out to Kucinich because, of course, Gaddafi and the Democrats have a longstanding relationship of cozy communication. And Kucinich, because he's a nervous Nelly and he's 4 feet, three, runs over to the attorney's office, House counsel, and goes, "Is this okay? Can I do this? Can I do this?" The guy says, "Sure, you can do this. You're in government. It's your duty to be informed, to investigate." And then Kucinich runs back, takes the call, and 2 years later, reporter takes him to a coffee shop and says, "Hey, you ought to listen to this." Imagine how that shattered his world. Good. Anyway, there it is. All right, back right after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're back, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. All right, so now talking about why all this is important, from Hayden blaming the millennials to Julian Assange pointing out that, hey, the CIA lost control of its largest arsenal of cyber weaponry. To Dennis Kucinich explaining how he had been bugged while he was a congressman. And in none of this, by the way, has been any mention of what? Russia hacking the election, right? So you remember Trump fires off his tweets and everybody just guffaw. Oh, Trump, crazy. There he is tweeting at 3 a.m. or whenever it was on a Saturday. And now lo and behold, you have what? The entire conversation has shifted to an analysis of what the CIA did, how they did it, what our capabilities are, and started a discussion on a frank discussion on what is what should and shouldn't happen when it comes to our domestic spying. And this is how I know, folks, this is how I know there's blood in the water. Rolling Stone, Matt Taibbi, who is a total pinko, all right? This guy is a leftist if there ever was one. And he, in Rolling Stone, right? we all know what they're capable of as far as fake news. But anyway, so Rolling Stone comes out. He's got this piece in it where he's saying, look, hey, listen, media, Democrats, you guys have to take a chill on this whole Russia hacked the election bit. And he goes through and actually cites an interview with none other than General Hayden, where Hayden goes, well, did they ever have any real evidence? Did you find any evidence? Did you have any evidence? Was there anything? No, we know nothing definitive. And the piece goes through how basically, the media at every turn is hiding behind the secret sources. None of the secret sources are giving the media anything definitive. They're saying more things like, as of yet, and it appears, and it may, nothing definitive, and that the media is actually digging its own grave by pursuing this. He's saying, hey, guys, hey, fellow libs, I'm just telling you here, you're going down the wrong rabbit hole. And this is the part of it that he misses in his piece, though. The Democratic Party, Obama, I'll call him election Obama, 2008, vintage Obama, pre-presidency Obama. And the Democratic Party was always a party of transparency, was a party of liberty, was a party of, in theory at least, of civil rights. And you want to know, I'm telling you, this party, the Democratic Party, has become obsessed with providing every fifth grade transgender student with the privacy they need to go take a you-know-what. But they can't somehow wrap their heads around, oh, it's maybe a problem that the government is listening to every one of our phone calls. That's real privacy. That's the privacy that Americans really care about. So, time to bring it back in, Democrats, or you're going to totally lose this thing for years and years to come. Have a great weekend, and see you next week. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.